This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 2nd. Happy New Year, episode 2088, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
And away we go.
Seriously, Happy New Year. You know what? You made it. You did 2018, and here you are in 2019. It doesn't matter what your resolution is because you're here. That's where we like to start. I mean, is that a positive way to start the new year? But like, you know what? I'm alive.
Being all upbeat and positive. Do you realize 2019 is almost 2020? I remember when 2000 was a big thing.
I know. You know what? It's really sad when you're like, the 90s was only like, wasn't that long ago.
I know.
Like, oh my God. Yes, it was. About
the 80s weren't that long ago for me.
I know. I know. We're just grumpy old people now.
That's it.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you guys are all here. And Glenn, I barely made it this morning because my son still is out of school, like for weeks. I swear he doesn't go back till February. And he's been here forever. But thank God Abby is here because I was like, Abby, you're watching the kid. It was like old times.
Built-in babysitter again.
It was like old times. So yeah. So Abby's visiting. We've had a great time. And how was your, well, we'll find out how your trip was. How about that? I know you guys went on vacation, but let's hear from Jennifer what's on today's show first.
Coming up on today's horselovers.com Wednesday frolic through the equinosphere, we're going to chat with one of our auditors, Marie Cornell, and she is everybody's secret hero right now because she traveled south, horse and dog in tow, to get away from the nasty, ugly winter up north. And she's going to be chatting with us live from the trails in Florida. Of course, we're going to have some first world equestrian problems because we never tire of sarcasm. And our horse health segment deals with forage this week. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And as we have done for the last 9 years, you realize that being that it's 2019 and we started the show in 2010, we are literally into our ninth calendar year now. So it's a long time.
Crazy.
Long time. Happy birthday to... everyone I missed last week, and auditors Rich, Megan, fill-in co-host Megan, and the person we stayed with during WAG, Tammy Martell, who runs a bed and breakfast up there near Tryon, and I know she listens to the show, so happy birthday to all of you. Rich Muller, of course, Kayla's dad, who was on the cruise, and we had a good time together. Also, I wanted to give a shout-out to Pam Minnick and their crew over at RFD-TV with the Rose Parade. They actually covered the Rose Parade this year. HGTV didn't. And they did a great job. Pam, I met at the World Percheron Congress. She is the host of Gentle Giants. It's a show about draft horses over on RFD-TV. And she's a really sweet lady. And she did a great job. And because it was RFD-TV covering the Rose Parade, they actually talked more about the equestrian units and knew what they were talking about. So that was a pleasant change. than what we've had in the past. You know, the past, it's this unit from those there and on to the next, because they know nothing about horses. So that was very nice this year. And now it's your turn.
Well, I've got a fun one for you. And this Daily Winnie goes out to all the people that are selling horses that are honest. There's like two of you.
I was going to say, how many of those are there?
I don't know who you are, except for me. I don't know who you are.
Jamie hasn't found you yet, apparently.
I haven't found you yet. So, yeah, I've got a good one for you. So I'm a member of the Oklahoma like Sport Horse page and Oklahoma Farm Swap Me page and the Texas Sport. Anyway, on one of those pages, one of the Oklahoma pages, a horse came up that it's a mare, and they show her jumping through some gymnastics. Very nice facility. She jumps like through this grid, and at the end of the grid, I mean, it's up to like 3.6, and she just like pings over it. And it's the 6-year-old Canadian warm blood mare for sale for $3,500. And I'm like, hold on. Why is there a horse, a Canadian warm blood, which are like really rare, Canadian warm blood for sale for $3,500? That's clearly super talented and trained, like very well trained. It didn't make sense. So I'm like, I have to investigate. And plus, I'm like, I really want a horse that I can just go show this spring. So, you know, twofold. I'm like, this might be like a really talented, affordable mare, knowing in my head that it's always too good to be true. But I don't know that even at the end of the story. So I send her a message. And I'm like, hi, I'm just going to open them up here. Hello, I'm interested in getting more info on your mare, please. I am planning a trip to where you are in the next couple of days, and I'd love to add her to my list. So it makes it sound like I'm like, you know, I've got a lot of horses to look at. And she writes, what else would you like to know? What has she been doing? Any soundness issues? We've just been riding her on the flat. She was previously going to schooling shoes for jumping. She is sound, no problems. Anything else I should know? There's not much else to her.
She's just kind of humdrum. she's a horse.
Thanks. Do you have any videos of her on the flat? I said. And so they sent me a video of a kid, probably like 10 years old, riding her in a round pen. So it's like they're standing in the middle and they're just circling, you know, watching the video of this kid trot this horse around in the round pen. So I'm like, okay. You know what? Weather permitting, I'd love to come and take a look at her. Do you have jumps at your place? Because clearly the first video, they were like a really nice arena with like great footing and jumps. And then they show me videos of some kid riding her in a round pen. Do you have jumps at your place? We do not have jumps here. I just moved to this facility. Okay. Well, where was the video taken? And then she didn't write back. Next day, I'm like, hey, how's it going? The video was in Texas at her previous owner's place. Okay. How long ago was that video and what has she been doing since then? It was taken in June. We've just been riding her on the flat. Okay. So why are you selling her? And, is your arena too wet to ride? Can we come and ride tomorrow? We just moved to town and we're thinning our herd. Okay. You're thinning your herd. Like, that doesn't tell me why you're particularly selling her. Is she registered? Does she have a name? Because at this point, I'm like, maybe I can look her up on, like, a show record or something. She is registered, but we never got her papers.
We never got her papers. Of course we did.
Exactly.
She's registered. The papers are out there somewhere, probably attached to a different horse.
And her name is Reese. Like that's not a
normal
name.
Yeah.
That's like a barn name, you know. That's give like me her registered
dressage host name.
I bet they named her after Reese Copper.
I bet they did. Yeah. Probably great at dressage. You'll be doing Grand Prix in no time.
And at this point, I'm like, I could either go see this horse or I could keep digging. I'm gonna keep digging. Okay. So I wrote, do you maybe remember the name of her previous owner? Maybe she has the papers. Do you have a registered name? I'd like to see if she has a show record. We tried getting a hold of her again, but she didn't respond.
She bought them from a dealer.
So I'm like, well, what's the name of the previous owner? I'm not sure. I'll ask my mom.
Okay. Oh, you've been Who dealing am I with the kid to? The whole time.
Am I dealing with the 10-year-old that's in the video?
That's it.
I also said, should I come tomorrow? The arena's too wet, but you could ride her in the pasture. I'm like, no. I would be bringing jumps and I'd want to set them up. So I'm not going to jump in your pasture that's wet. It's supposed to rain Thursday. I don't have any. I asked her if they had somewhere to haul her to that maybe I could ride her. And no, we don't have anywhere to haul her to. Just ride her in the pasture. So I wrote, okay, here's the deal. Number one, find out her registered name. And number two, find out the name of her previous owner or one of either. I don't care. And then I just was like, I've been kind of demanding with my questions. I'm like, hey, so tell me what type of riding you do just to try to see if it's a kid. And they haven't run back. So what I did was I took that video that they posted of the girl and they used to own the horse in Texas. So I went to every textbook sport horse Facebook page and I reposted the video. And I'm like, okay, people, who is this? Who is this horse? Who is this rider? Somebody's got to know who this is. And I got like three or four people that are like, that's that horse for sale in Oklahoma. We've been trying to find out too, but we didn't find any information. And I get this private message from somebody and they're like, hey, this is her name, but I can't post it on social media. This is the one riding the horse. I mean, people were like, what's the name of the water tower in the back of the video? Because you can at least see somebody in the water tower. It's like a sleuthing challenge at this point. All the Texas Sporters people at page are trying to figure out who the dang horse is and who the dang rider is. So, drama. I'm like, I'm going to find out more about this horse. You cannot tell me that this horse that is incredibly well-trained is $3,500 in your backyard. And you've been riding this unbelievably nice horse in a round pen. It just doesn't make sense. And at this point, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. So I get this private message of this girl who's like, oh my God, I know who that girl is in the video. Her name is blah, blah, blah. I can't remember. Hey, your name is blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, perfect. So I go and I find her on Facebook. Bing! Another message pops up. Oh, that's blah, blah, blah. And she has an Instagram page. And so I've got Abby and I'm like, Abby, open up your Instagram and find this girl.
You're now
so
stalking. Like, you realize
oh
that, right?
Oh my God, there's like tons of video of this horse. So I haven't been able to look at that yet because that was late last night and like people are up to all hours at sending me messages. Then I send the girl a message and I'm like, hey, I found a video. This is you. I've been told it's you. I wouldn't know any information you can give me about this horse. She writes me back. It's not my horse anymore, and I can't comment on clients' horses on Facebook. But you can call me. Here's my number. And she gives me her phone number. And so then I tried to call her last night. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm at dinner with clients. Call me at 9:30 in the morning, which, by the way, is in like 15 minutes. I'm like, I'll call you at 10:30 and we will talk. So right after the show, I am calling this girl to find out the drama about this horse and like why this really nice Canadian warm blood mare
we
that jumps
really
like
shock her
foot.
And call her on the hey, you're live on the air. There's thousands of people listening. So
nobody's going to understand if, like, if we call her right now and I just be like, you're live on the radio. Go ahead. Tell me about this horse. She might just be like, what? But we did the job of telling her because she wouldn't understand. We should call her. She didn't want to talk about publicly in social media, but who's listening?
Yeah, who's listening? There's nobody listening.
So, have I intrigued you guys? Can you not wait for Friday's show to hear more about this horse, Reese?
Do you ever have a normal horse shopping experience? I mean, just show up, the horse goes around, it is what it says it is, and you buy it.
No, that doesn't exist. Only when I bought Groot, baby Groot, at Horse and Hound. She's like, hey, here's a nice horse that's off the track and it's been rested. And that's what it is. And I looked at it. I was like, yes, that is what it is. I will take it. That is like the first time and only time that has ever happened. So if you're looking for a racehorse, I suggest Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation in Guthrie, Oklahoma, because they're the only one I've ever dealt with. I even at that place, I was like, hey, what about that horse? She's like, nah, you won't like that one. Well, okay. So that's it. That's the only time that's ever happened. But this one, I feel like a detective. And at this point, obviously, the horse is, I don't know what's going to happen. There's no positive outcome to this whatsoever.
No,
of course, it's lame. It's broken. It's crazy. There's some sort of something wrong with this. But,
well,
by
we,
God,
we kind of determined it wasn't stolen. I was thinking that for a while.
I know, right? It's like, why do you have this horse? And why do you have the videos? And you're posting videos of like the former owner riding the horse. Of, like what? But you're like 10 years old and you're riding the horse around the round pen and you're selling it. Why are you asking your mom? Actually, I think the girl is 10 years old and the one I'm talking to is her mom, who's like 15. And then her mom is probably like 30. That's Oklahoma for you, people.
That's funny.
People think I'm Lucas's grandmother at the grocery store. Okay. That's how it is. I'm like, no, I didn't have a baby at 9. Okay. Thanks. Sorry, no offense to anybody listening who had a baby at 9. It's not your fault. But anyway, I will find out the answer to this saga. And I, you know
the
what?
Drama will continue on Friday's show.
You know, maybe they bought it for the little girl. And it's like too much horse. And then I could get the super talented, well, lightly, you know, jumped horse. It could be awesome. It could be. I could be calling you back. Friday morning, I might be like, oh, my God, I got a new horse. And her name is Reese Goffler Stampfield.
Reese is going to be so happy that you bought a horse named after her. Yeah. You know, we've had a little drama here, too.
Oh, gosh, tell me everything. Oh, your turn.
So we take break, and, you know, I really needed the break this time. It's kind of burnout. The older I get, the more burnout I get by the end of the year. And we've been kind of busy with new things and shows, and, you know, we're running this network thing. So we get to break. Well, about a week before break, for the second time since we lived in Florida, Glory comes in the house with fleas. So we start bathing Glory and doing all of that. Well, apparently the fleas got a little out of control because our house got infested with fleas.
It happened so quick.
Oh, my God. It was days. And so Jennifer's buying every natural flea, you know, thing we can find, right? And we have three carpets all in the bedrooms, and we rent, so we can't rip the carpets out. It's not our house. So, which is what I would do if I owned the house. So,
burn it down.
I thought about that, believe me, over the last 2 weeks. So during break, what we did is we went on a major war with fleas. They're like the tiniest animal alive, right? And they're the biggest pain in the ass. And I'm now standing in my office and they're chewing on my ankles still. So we go on this war with natural flea stuff. Well, that didn't work. So then I was like, buy the toxic stuff. I don't care.
We're so gonna bomb the house.
Yeah, exactly. So she gets the toxic stuff. Still didn't work. There's still fleas. So I said, well, over break, we're going to clean the entire house from top to bottom. We're going to take all the furniture out of all the rooms that have floors, and we're going to do the baseboards, and we're going to do the mopping and the whole thing. We're going to treat all the furniture. We're going to do everything. And then we're going to come in and have the carpets cleaned and, you know, have the professionals clean the carpets and do the steam cleaning, all that stuff. So then we had to move all the furniture out of the carpeted rooms after we had cleaned the other rooms and treat all the furniture and wipe every surface down. We did everything. I mean, everything over like 3 days. And 2 days later, there's fleas. And the dog does not have fleas anymore because we took her to the vet. Oh, that was an experience. So Jennifer takes her to the vet to get flea medicine. Well, it's required to do an exam because we don't have a regular vet. You know, occasionally the vets that come out will do the dog.
Yep,
and
they gotta see
we
you,
get
they
her shots. And we just don't see a regular vet because she hasn't been in that much, right? So the regular vet, the little person comes out with a write-up of $1,800 worth of stuff they can do to our dog. And the reason that I don't bring the vet to the dogs to the vet anymore is because I would have signed up for all $1,800 worth. That's why Jennifer won't let me take the dog to the vet anymore. No matter how busy she is, she has to take the dog to the vet. Well, she got it down to flea medicine and like a shot for $100. Which is what she went in for. So the dog doesn't have fleas anymore, but our whole house has fleas. So now it's exterminator time. We're giving up and calling the exterminator today. Apparently, she went to the vet's office, and the vet said, oh, normal flea stuff don't work on Florida fleas.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yes. So apparently we have a very strong strain of fleas down here in Florida who apparently
have, like,
don't die at anything.
Captain America of fleas. It's like, hello, Captain. Hey, Cap.
So if anybody knows how to get rid of Florida fleas, please let us know. These little things drive you insane. I was shocked at how insane they drive you.
No, can you imagine the dogs that are covered? It's just awful. Like, when I worked at the vet clinic, when in high school, I was like the kennel manager, you know, and I bathe the animals and dip them. And some of them, you put them in the water and you just see all the fleas run right to their tip of their nose, you know, just awful, awful experience for the poor dogs to have to deal with that. But it's true. I mean, just the house that I live in now, it didn't have fleas, but it had everything else living in it.
Every other critter.
And so I scheduled, I was like, 1-800, who the hell do I call in anywhere? And so I called Orkin, and the Orkin guy comes out and he like puts little traps out to catch the things that are, because they want to see what there is. And I like a week later, I'm like, dude, these traps are full. There's like bugs stuck to them and carrying these things around the house. There's so many freaking huge ass bugs. The traps are moving around the house. Get out here. So they come every 2 months. But if you call in between the 2 months schedule, they'll come up for free. So I'm like, every week, I'm like, hey, come back out. There was a spider that walked into my kitchen, Glenn, that I swear to God was this. If I spread my fingers out, it was that big. And he walked on the roof.
You know
and
what?
I'm like, Chad, get spider, get spider, get spider, get spider. And he's like, okay, fine. And he's like, go faster. It's leaving. And it crawled up into my freaking kitchen light. And I'm like, I'm moving out. I can't live here.
I guarantee
anymore.
It was a wolf spider, and it moves fast, don't they? Wolf spiders move fast. They're huge, and they move fast. We had a couple when we
You know what?
In.
The worst thing is on your roof. What if it falls?
I know.
What if it just fell on my head? I would die. I would just die. So I get it. The bug situation is a problem. By the way, that ginormous spider did come out like 20 minutes later, and Chad got him.
You can't smash the big ones. You'll make a stain on your ceiling or your wall.
I didn't care. I was like, stain it and let that be a lesson. To his friends, do not come in.
I'll teach him. So apparently they have what I heard is in the panhandle. Wendy was telling us this. We were down there. Let me tell you about that then. So
you basically left town. You're like, we're leaving.
Yeah, we did. We went to Wendy's for a couple days.
Exactly.
Literally,
what we did.
That's what we did because we couldn't stand it anymore. We were going to bring the dog. Well, I can bring the dog to Wendy's, right? And actually, the dog is the only one that doesn't have fleas right now. So I'm scratching.
I'm standing on the front door knocking, scratching his neck.
The dog's fine. So apparently in the panhandle of Florida, they're known for their black widow spiders. So let's hope you don't have those. Anyway, so we go to Wendy's for a couple days to get away from the fleas. And I told Jennifer.
Did Wendy bathe and dip you before you walked in the house?
She said, glad you didn't bring the dog along. I said, yeah, we're probably more of a problem than the dog. So we brought the horses along, and I got to tell you, it was a wonderful trip with Nigel and Scooter. They both traveled. It's the longest they've traveled, like 3 or 4 hours on the trailer, and the new trailer made a world of difference, and they loved it there. They had a good time. We went out driving and riding, and everybody was great. Scooter was a perfect angel, actually. Didn't cause it. And we saw some things you don't normally see. They were great. It was terrific. It was fun visiting with Kyle and Wendy for a couple days, too. So we had an uneventful horse trip. It's the fleas that are the problem. and I got to tell you, somebody said fleas don't bite. They are full of crap.
What?
Fleas bite. I'm sorry. They said fleas don't bite. Well, you haven't seen a Florida flea then because...
No. Who's that dumb? Because all fleas bite. Otherwise,
bite.
Animals wouldn't mind them.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
say that about flies. They're like, flies don't bite the horses. I'm like, well, then why do they swish at them? I'm like, bite their stomach to get them off. Like,
exactly.
That's stupid.
No, I agree with that. All right. Jennifer's going to try and get our first guest on here. She's actually here in Florida, one of our auditors, and she's been riding around our state to doing some fun things, so we thought we'd check in with her. It's fun for us, and I think we're going to try and do more of that this year. Let's talk a little bit about this year coming up. We've, of course, had 8 years here on Horses in the Morning, and we do try and mix things up a little bit, and also... in addition to trying to mix things up, we also then try and keep some things the same that we know you love. Like Jamie's going to be doing some equestrian first world problems later. Of course, really bad ads will stay. We can't go anywhere. We couldn't do this show without really bad ads. And we're going to be mixing up some of the Tuesdays and Thursday episodes. We added fox hunting here recently, which has been really popular. And we're going to be adding the fourth Thursday of the month. We have an announcement coming up. Let's just say that we're going to be doing something brand new there starting this month. So we'll be able to announce that in another week or so. Jamie's got a new show coming out. Yes, you heard that right. Jamie's going to be co-hosting another show with Joy. And what did we call it? We got to come up with an official name. I need to do that soon.
It's That Thoroughbred Show.
That Thoroughbred Show, except nobody can spell Thoroughbred. I can't spell Thoroughbred.
Yes, you can. It's not that hard. You can do it. You know what? You just had to spell it one time. I'm not doing that TV show. That sounds like tuberculosis.
It does. OTTV show? You don't want to do that either?
No, it's That Thoroughbred Show. You know that show? That Thoroughbred Show.
So,
yeah, come on. That's so good.
So that's what we're going to be doing. That's going to be starting twice a month in February, and that's thanks to our friends at Kentucky Performance Products are sponsoring that show. So she, so that's going to be coming up. So there's a lot of things coming that are going to be new. We're going to try and find, work out, we're working on it now, some new segments for Horses in the Morning this year. So I think we're going to be doing some fun things and adding some new things and trying to keep it as fresh as possible, as well as, you know, like we have for the first half hour, filling you in on our daily lives as well. So that's all coming up. Now, the one thing that hasn't changed is our sponsorship on Wednesdays, and that's from horselovers.com. You know, if you got a little bit of Christmas money, now's the time to go to Horse Lovers.
Let me stop you here. Yeah? Besides the fact that I'm currently itching because I'm now thinking I'm pleased.
Everybody in the audience is now itching, I guarantee you. That you so can all remember, thank me later.
Remember you told me that story on the last show of the year about the guy who would buy $2,500 gift certificate?
Yes.
At your tax shop?
Yes, he did it every year.
I get this note in my stocking, like, "Hey, Merry Christmas. Check your email." And I'm like, "What?" And I'm email, and it's a gift certificate from horselovers.com. And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Well, I was listening to your show, and Glenn was telling the story about the husband who just got his wife a gift card for $2,500. And I'm like, "Oh my God, $2,500. Open up $100. You can't lead with that. You can't open with a 25. I remember that story. And I was like, awesome. And then of course, like, it's still 100. Like, how bad of a first world problem is that? I thought I was getting $2,500, but I only got 100. Anyway, I am now I can't decide what I want. I have $100 to spend at horselovers.com. And it's all your fault that I don't have $2,500. Chad's like, "I heard that story."
You know what the worst part of that whole thing is? Chad's listening to our show now. That's bad.
Oh, I'm sure he's listening. He's currently driving my car from Arizona to Oklahoma because we had left one car there for him to drive around when he was in the airport. But he's now officially based in Dallas. So now he's driving my car listening to this, and now he's cussing me. Baby, I love the $100. Thank you. But you gotta watch how you sell things.
I was all excited, too. I said $2,500. Jeez.
Right?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Well, they do have a clearance right now going on up to 70% off of all brands. They got blankets and shirts and pants and boots and all kinds of stuff. So your $100 gift certificate probably gets you $300 worth of stuff. It'll be like he bought you a $300 gift certificate. They also have winter gloves, which, by the way, I know you have to look into now. So, you know, they have sweatshirts and they just, well, let me look. There is
more winter clothes.
30
sure.
pages of stuff that is on sale right now, up to 70% off. And some of the stuff's really marked down. So definitely head on over to horselovers.com and check it out.
It's horselovers with a Z.com. Yeah, I figure $100 at Horse Lovers is probably like spending, you know, a couple hundred at your tech shop. So
that's right.
All the clearance that they do.
It's not $2,500, but you're close. You're close.
I just said, like, don't oversell and underdeliver. The sales technique is undersell and overdeliver, not the other way around. So let's think, people.
Yeah. Horselovers.com, and there were so many places I could have gone with that, and I'm not going to. We're going to go to our guest. So coming up right now, I can't think of a better way to start our year than with one of our terrific auditors. Her name is Marie. Good morning, Marie.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I hear you're out riding right now.
That's true. I made it to sunny Ocala, Florida. It is awesome here. It's so beautiful. We're on the Shangri-La Trail right now as we speak.
Why haven't you come to visit us yet?
Well, you've been gallivanting all around and on vacation. I listen to so much Horse Radio Network coming down here. I saved it all up and I'm all caught up.
No, don't lie. Don't lie. You're basically, you haven't visited him because you're sick of him.
That's right. She listened to all that, and now she's like, "I don't need him anymore." Jeez. So why are you here?
It was cold and rainy and muddy.
So you just came down for vacation or what? You're in Michigan too, aren't you?
Yep. Yes, Michigan. So last year I got a nice, decent truck, you know, and then this year I kind of happened into a good deal on a nice horse trailer and a good horse. And I thought, these things never occur all at the same time for me. So I should probably take advantage of it. So this fall, I conned my husband into doing chores for me for 2 weeks so I could head down south for a little bit and ride. So I took 4 days to get down here. I stopped and rode with a friend in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. And
where did you ride in very Atlanta, pretty. Georgia?
Well, I can't say it like they say it, Crawfordsville and Carrollton and Tallapoosa, Little Tallapoosa.
Tallapoosa. Gotcha. Okay, cool. Just checking. You said Atlanta. So I was getting a little nervous.
You had pictured her riding in the city.
Shot on down to Ocala, and I'm staying here. I'm staying in the National Forest, and then met up with Denise yesterday, and they had a beautiful ride with a potluck and everything. So, and then, of course, as horsewomen are, I befriended another more horsewomen, and now we're riding together today, you know, and I hope to continue that. I know there's someone in the Horse Radio Network world that knows where a certain aircraft is in the trails that we're not supposed to speak of, that I would like someone to show me later.
Well, I think it's cool. You went to Inglis Island, didn't you, out to the dam?
Yes, it was awesome. It was like, I don't know,
Jamie,
horse parks are really fancy down here.
Yeah, this place, Jamie, is really cool. It actually is an island. It's near Dunellen, and we have a lot of trails here in Ocala. And we go out there all the time with the pony and the cart because the trails are really wide on Inglis Island, and there's never very many people there. And it's beautiful trails through the jungles of Florida, through the woods. But they're beautiful, and they're well-maintained, and you can ride for a couple hours out there. And it's just the most beautiful place, and you can do trot sets. You can do whatever you want out there. And I'm so glad you got to see that because it really is a neat place.
It was great. And there were so many different types of horses out there. And I've never seen so many drivers on the trail. There was a pair of halflingers. There was a couple of hackneys. There was a Frisian. There was a Fjord. So much diversity in horses there. It was amazing.
Wow, that you hit a good day because a lot of times we go out there and there's nobody. It's just us on the whole island. And that's really cool, too, because you got the whole place to yourself. So you're living every horsewoman's dream. You realize that. Take your horse, go on the road for a couple of weeks, leave the husband at home, and just ride.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I'm very thankful. My horse is a little bit warm, but, you know, the horse and the dog, they traveled with me pretty well. So I'm really lucky. I'm knocking on wood so that nothing bad happens on the way back, but it's been great.
Wow. So, Jamie, have you ever done that? Just pack up the horse and go? And see where you end up?
I don't think I've ever seen where I end up, but I've packed the horse and moved a couple times. Quickly, like in the middle of the night, I've done that. But the horse seems like it's positive and planned.
Did you have everything planned, or were you just winging at some of it when you got down here?
Oh, I was just winging it. Yep. I had a spot. Luckily, you know how horse people are. Oh, you know, I pull in and they're like, come sit around the campfire. And so I, you know, we swap stories and everything, and they tell me the good trails. And then Denise Facebooks me and says, hey, why don't you come right here? And then it just all snowballed from there. I met my friend Lori and Ethel, and we're on the trail now.
What do you ride? Tell us about your horse.
I have a 12-year-old quarter horse mare, Goldie. Guess what color she is? And a
black
yellow dog traveling with me. So,
well, that's cool. This is so cool. I'm glad you got to experience some of Ocala. We just have so many places to ride. You're staying in the forest, of course, one of the biggest places. The Ocala National Forest is huge for those that don't know it, and it is very Florida forest. And we looked at moving there, Marie. When we first moved to Ocala, we looked at a place in the middle of the forest. First of all, it's in the middle of freaking nowhere. And when we went out with the realtor, it was kind of, you know, it was very wooded around. I mean, this farm was in the middle of, and I saw spiders bigger than I'd ever seen before. And there was a pond about 10 feet behind the house. And I said, what, you know, are there alligators in the pond? She said, well, it is Florida. And I assumed that meant yes. I took that as a yes. There were alligators going to be 10 feet from our back door. And then she said, oh, and we have bear and wild pigs and snakes. And I was like, I was out of the forest and never, I never wanted to live there, ever.
You're such an outdoorsman, Glenn. I'm so proud of you. The only thing that would deter me is not the alligators. It's probably having mosquitoes in your pond.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there are those, too. But the forest is beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful. It's very Florida with the palm trees and everything, and the vegetation is kind of cool. And I learned something new when you ride around the Florida forest here. If you ever had a train set when you were a kid, I might be speaking to the guys here, I don't know. If you ever had a train set when you were a kid, they had a decoration you could buy called lichen. And it looked like little bushes. I finally found out where lichen grows. It's all over the forests of Florida, all over the floor. You probably saw some and didn't even know what it was. But lichen grows here like crazy, and it looks just like the stuff we used to use on the train set. And used to pay big bucks for. So I learned some things riding around Florida. So we're glad you're having fun. Did you see any bear, alligators, or snakes in the forest?
Thank God I have not seen a snake or a bear or an alligator. I wouldn't mind seeing an alligator from afar. But yeah, we haven't seen any of those yet. We have seen some saber-toothed armadillos that kind of scared our horses the other day. But and we saw some deer. We did see some deer, so.
Well, good. I'm glad you're having
beautiful.
Fun.
Like you said it.
And you're still welcome to come over and visit if you're not sick of us.
Absolutely.
Sounds good. Thanks, Marie. Enjoy your time here.
Thank you. Have a good new year. Bye.
Bye-bye.
She's not coming
what
over.
What an adventure. She knows she's sick of you. She's over you. She's like, I don't need to see you. I just have been listening to you for hours, and I'm tired of
She's
you.
She's not coming. Do you want to talk a little bit about resolutions before we get to first world problems?
Yeah, I have a list of horses' New Year's resolutions, too.
Okay, cool. Well, let's talk first. You know, we like to somehow, sometimes we like to take the things that happened in real life, not horse world, and see if they apply to horse people. So let's take a look at the most popular resolutions for the general world. And see if any of those are something that we would do as horse people. Okay?
Okay.
So let's take a look at that. And I'll start the list. There's a top 10. It was a recent survey just done in the last week or so. And this is what they found out. Number 10 was read more. You know, if that means books, I'm out. But I think as a people, we actually do read more because you're reading Facebook all the time and then it links you to an article. I actually think we read more because of social media, don't you?
I read the paper USA Today on my phone every day.
Do you?
And you know how you talk about reading more? I've got my eventing magazine like a month ago and I still haven't had time to sit down and read it. Yet I can sit down and read the USA Today on my phone every day.
I know.
What's wrong with me?
I think as a whole, we are reading more.
I'm definitely going to read more this year.
Yeah. But
because
you might
Glenn
actually
got me
read
a
35-pound
Harry Potter book.
Yes, I did. I got her the Making of Harry Potter book that weighs about 35 pounds. And it has every detail about the making of all the Harry Potter movies. That was her gift this year.
Neat.
That's the most I've ever spent on a book in my life. So travel more is one. Well, I think that Jennifer and I have been trying to do more of that anyway. And you
if
guys
you didn't travel more. I would love to put that on my list. If you could find me a farm sitter who could come out to Oklahoma and take care of my farm while I travel, because I don't know anybody and I don't have any friends. So I don't have anybody to help me. So I'm not going to be traveling anywhere.
You know, that's just becoming a pity party, right?
It's really sad. First world problem, I can fly anywhere I want in the world free, and I have no time to go.
You know, it's funny because we had lunch with Abby and Charlotte and a couple others that were in town the other day, and they said, well, I'm sure Jamie's been out to visit. I said, nope, she's never come to visit us in all this time, and she gets free. And they were like, well, she gets free airfare. I said, yep, I know.
Listen, let me stop you right there. You do not want to know the discussion that my father and I had over Christmas. Like, he came a couple weeks before Christmas. This is not something you will not use guilt on me for not coming to visit you. Don't even begin, because I've already been through this and I'll not tolerate it. You come out and visit me. You have no job. You're retired. You fly for free. Get out here and visit me. I have a baby and a farm and family and a job. Sorry. That was, I'm
You done
using
now.
Something else right there.
How about quit smoking? Well, that's not something you and I have to deal with. And by the way, that's on everybody's list that smokes every year and they don't. So save more money, spend less money. Yeah, right. Okay. Yep. We have horses. That one's out. That's not happening. That we did. Live life to the fullest. Well, I kind of think that we try and do that as horse people, right?
Do people have to tell themselves that?
I guess so. I was surprised that was on there too. Do that. What are they doing now?
I'm only living life to the halfest.
Or the quarterist. I only do a quarter of what I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that has a different meaning than we. But I think horse people kind of try and do that. Learn a new skill or hobby.
I do not need another hobby.
No.
Dear God.
That just costs
Chad
us money.
Is like, no more hobbies for you.
That's right.
I want a new mounted archery. I need a bow and arrow that, like, you know, for riding. And he's like, no more belongings.
Yeah, it's true. Hobbies always cost us money. And yeah, when you get a new skill in our sport, it costs you money. So there you go. Get organized. That's why we have Jemmy on our end.
When was the last time I dewormed my horses? I think it was in December.
And you know how many apps we've talked about over the years that help us organize that? And we don't have any of them on our phone.
Pony app, and I actually did decide I was going to use it more. But I haven't redownloaded it. But I did say, you know what? I'm going to get organized.
Yeah, I said that yesterday, too. I spent all day. Well, my office is perfectly clean. It's the cleanest it's ever been after the last 2 weeks. And I was, like, printing things out to get organized and do it. And then I decided this morning I was going to get up and make a complete list before I started working on the show notes of everything I had to do today. Do you know what's on my piece of paper?
Your name.
Nothing.
At the top.
I didn't even put the day up, the week on it. There's nothing on it. Lose weight. Well, isn't that on everybody's list all the time? Lose weight and exercise more. Always the top two. They've been the top two forever.
Like, I want to lose weight, but the problem is that Chad got me a pair of those sticky butt breeches, and they're, like, a little too big. So if I lose weight, they're not going to fit. So I've got to actually
gotta
gain
get
a little
into
weight.
It. Yeah, you got to work into it.
Yeah.
I think sticky buns might help you with those.
Yeah,
exactly. Sticky buns will help you fit into them.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
So that'll solve that problem. All right, let's talk about horse resolutions.
Okay, you want to know your horse's resolutions?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm allergic to the Christmas tree that is in this room, so I'm wheezing when I'm breathing. It's getting harder and harder to communicate. Okay, I'm in my in-laws' house still, by the way, for those who don't know, and they're... I'm using dial-up. Okay. And Internet Explorer still. All right. Your horse's New Year's resolution. None of these, by the way, will apply to Zeus. Think of the opposite, and he will do that. I will not tip over the wheelbarrow while you're filling it with manure, even if I think
yesterday,
it's funny.
The pony, Scooter, we go out in this field with the wheelbarrow and we're filling it up, and he has this thing where he likes to chew on the wooden handle. He just comes right over, starts chewing on the wooden handle, and knocks it over.
Of course.
So Scooter is not up for that resolution, apparently, because he already ruined it yesterday.
Maybe we're going to turn the corner in this. So yesterday was the first. Now he's toast. I won't spook at non-existent scary things, even though it gets a great reaction from you.
Once again.
I won't flip out. This is Chili. This is what Chili's going to say. I won't flip out when my pasture buddy goes off in a trailer, even though I know he'll be back soon. Actually, Chili will scream if I just ride them around the property, and he's not included.
Why is it that no matter how many horses you have, you always have one that is herdbound? You always have one.
Can we hear from Chili real quick, just so you guys know when I am trail riding what I hear?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, 47 times in a row. Don't do it 47 times in a row. I'll hear it this afternoon when I ride. I will let the vet give me my shots without making like it freaks me out. Okay. Well, I'm learning things about Rocket, and turns out he's a sensitive redhead. And the vet came out because both Zara and Rocket both had like an upper respiratory infection. So I had to have the vet out this week. And the vet is a big no in Rocket's world. Didn't he? Never met her. Never seen her in her life. Walks up and he's like, I mean, he was peace out. He was in the back of the stall, like, done. This is going to be his. I will not tip over the big water bucket in the pasture just because I can. Yeah, that'd be nice, Zeus. I will not stomp on the salt block, breaking it into unlickable pieces, Zeus. I will not trot away when you see me come towards me with a halter. I want to play, I really do. I don't have any that run away from me. they all kind of mug me, and then it's like, then I'll walk out in the pasture with a halter, and seven horses walk up to me. And then Zeus attacks each one individually who comes up to me. So then I'm like running in the pasture away from the horses because they're like chasing each other and they're pinning their ears. And it's a disaster.
Oh, that's why horse husbands don't do any more than, if we have to go out into a field with more than four horses, I'm out. I don't do it.
Oh my God. You and Chad are so the same. He's like,
it's dangerous.
In Arizona, I had to muck stalls when I was gone. He would have to muck stalls, blanket all the horses, blah, 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 do all the stuff, get all the water. You know, we have a big water tub now. We have a pond. And then the horses drink out of the pond more than they do the water tub. Plus, there's no stalls to muck. And there's only two horses he had to blanket. And I'm like, wasn't that so much easier? He was like, no, that was the worst thing I've ever had to do when I was in California. I'm like, why? My idea of hell is going out and blanketing a horse in a pasture with other horses around. So yeah, you guys are very similar.
Every horse husband is similar. We're not unique. Yeah. We all deal with the same stuff.
I will swallow wormer without objection, without getting any of it on myself or you. That's never happened. I will get under you when you lose your seat instead of seizing the opportunity to go the other way.
Yeah, that's never happened either. Yeah,
right. I will not blow up like a balloon when you tighten the girth. That's chilly.
Scooter. Yeah.
Scooter does that too.
Yeah, yeah, we have to actually now, I have to tighten twice. I have to tighten once before I get the cart over and put the cart on him. And then after the cart's on him, I have to tighten a second time now. Because I learned what happens if you don't. What happens if you don't do that second tightening and you forget to, is when you go to a trot, Scooter doesn't like it when the girth pushes up on him, and he goes into a bucking kicking fit while in the cart. And that is not pleasant, by the way. Just saying. Not
just
pleasant.
Just so we know. That's terrible. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know how any of you drive anyway. It's a nightmare.
Well, when they start kicking, you know, he's going to hit the way the cart's designed, he's going to hit the cart. He won't hit me. But getting a foot over the traces, it could be a disaster. So, yeah, that's not much fun. Nope. And Jennifer, are you back? Jennifer just deserted us and said, I have to go. There's a loose horse.
Oh, my God.
Are you
Please
back,
tell
Jennifer?
Me everything.
Apparently not.
Oh, dude. Loose horse.
So, I don't know who's loose, but.
It's not mine because he's not in Florida. So
all right. Fine. Let's get off of resolutions because we know one thing. The horses or ourselves aren't going to keep them anyway.
Nobody cares.
That's why I don't do resolutions anymore because I never kept them. For years, I tried hard.
Hey, by the way, it is day two of Veganuary. So all my vegan sisters and brothers out there that
it's
are
time
giving
to
it
eat
a go,
meat.
Proud of you. Proud of you guys.
Day two. Time to bail out on that whole thing.
No, you know, I'm like, I'm going to lose weight on this. And then I went to a movie yesterday and I ate like 4 pounds of Twizzlers.
Are they on a vegan diet, Twizzlers?
Yes, Twizzlers are vegan.
Are they? Because it's just sugar and water.
Yeah, pretty much. It's corn syrup and food dye. You know, really healthy diet.
But there's nothing better than a fresh Twizzler. When Twizzler gets stale, it's awful. But fresh Twizzlers? Mm. Oh, yeah, Jennifer's back. Can you give us a quick recap here? You went out for a loose horse. Who was loose?
I have a recap of the loose horse event. Scooter alerted me by doing lightning fast laps around his paddock outside my window. And lo and behold, two of the neighbor's horses were hanging out in the middle of the street having a little party. So I went out there and put Scooter's 13 hand size pony halter on the 16 hand quarter horse's head.
Nice. So around his neck,
got him nabbed. Yeah, it's like okay. The yeah, it was interesting.
And those horses are like Scooter is like the biggest tattletale. Oh my God.
Yeah. Shut up! We're having fun out here. They were having a party in the middle of the street, drinking beer. Yeah, the trucks are whizzing past. Yeah.
Oh, fun. Well, but I'm glad you got that resolved.
They've been safely delivered to their home now.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you for playing rescuer. All right. Are you ready to do the next segment?
Yes, but let me go ahead and tell you guys that Spider-Man, Spider-Verse, I was like, oh, I'm going to get the best nap ever for this cartoon Spider-Man that's coming out. Oh, my God. It was amazing. It was totally awesome. Go see it. So, I'm ready.
I saw it was a Spider-Man. Was it a movie?
It's a movie, but like a cartoon movie, but it is phenomenal. It is phenomenal.
Who knew?
Sorry. Yeah, look at this. First world problem. First world problem. First world problem. Remember, people, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. Now, here's the deal, is many of you posted actual problems, and the snarky sarcasm wasn't even there for some of you. So I'm really sorry that some of you have really big problems and lots of rain and mud and like issues. Those are not the ones we're going to discuss today. I posted this like 2 days ago, and I think there's like 75 people, 75 messages. So I appreciate all of you for participating. It's fantastic. Glenn won't let me read every one of them, so I had to edit them. Cutting back. So here we're going to start with Jessica's. I bought my hubby the sweetest, gentlest, beginner safe trail horse for Christmas, but it's a mare. Why'd you do that, Jessica? Ridiculous. They lied to you. You bought it from somebody in Oklahoma, didn't you? Lila said, my husband was so good to pick out the vet wrap for my poor hurt pony. But he got an off-brand, and it's hard to get off. You cannot buy generic vet wrap. You just cannot. You must pay the extra 85 cents for the vet wrap name brand, because you can tear it. You can pull it apart. It's great. Sorry. Abby says, I just left my beautiful, wonderful new pony in Florida for 3 months, but she's with my trainer and I miss her. Send my horse and stuff.
Abby's who we had lunch with the other day.
Oh, yeah. And so apparently she's not staying.
No, she left. Her pony
Colleen
stayed.
Says, tomorrow is her first day back in the office since 12:20. Wow. That's like, it's like, do you work? She must work in Oklahoma schools.
Yeah, exactly.
But it means I won't be able to take my new pony out for an afternoon hack until the weekend. So how many people got new horses for Christmas?
I know. There's a bunch, actually, of our listeners.
All right,
that
ask
did.
On our auditors page who got new horses for Christmas, and I want to know all about them. Karen, our endurance aficionado. And Karen, I'm going to pour a little out for you right now, because I am experiencing this right now, but I didn't know. I didn't know this would happen. I didn't know this was a thing. And I'm just as panicked as it appears you are. I need to fill up the water troughs, and it's only going to maybe get up to 30 degrees today. And I didn't drain my hose yesterday, and it just hit 20 degrees at 11:20 a.m.
No,
oh my God.
All yes, done.
My
that.
Hoses are frozen and my horses are in the pasture. I'm like, if that lake freezes over, we're in trouble. If my little pond free. I'm like, y'all better drink out of the pond.
We all know what that's like. And you end up carrying 5 gallon water buckets from the house or the barn.
It's too far. I can't do it. Maybe I'll boil some water and pour it on top of it. Anyway,
tried that
there's,
too.
There's no good way to do
it. If
this.
It's really cold, it that just freezes anyway. So it's like,
yeah, like pour it on top of the ice.
One of our listeners posted -22 yesterday.
She lives
real
in Wyoming.
Temperature.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God.
Rachel says, I found the perfect pink hay bag to take to shows this year, but now I can't decide if I want to bedazzle it or put rhinestones or glitter. Bedazzle it with rhinestones or glitter. Oh. Look, don't do glitter. It'll just get in the hay in your horse.
Yeah,
anyway.
And the rhinestones will cut their lips. So let's just go with the hay bag. Let's just go with a
no,
nice
you have
pink
to,
hay bag.
You have to make it fancy. Make her a really cool stall sign instead.
There you go.
With both. Jen, there's somebody named Jen who posted. I don't know who she is, but I've never heard of her. There are 3 different cross-country courses to school within a 30-minute drive, and I can't decide which one to go to. The close one, the cheap one, or the one with the best deli on the way home.
If it's the Jen deli, I think you? It is, she'll go with the cheap one.
No, I think she went with the deli. Jen, what's the verdict?
You know, at the urging of our auditors, I'm going with deli. I'm stepping out.
Got to have a good food after
stepping
your cross country.
Because I would normally go with the cheap one.
Yeah. 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 I would go with the close one. Colleen says, it's too cold and windy to do anything with my horses. She lives in California, and by too cold, she means 49 degrees, and windy means 10 to 15 miles per hour. I hate you. Let me continue. Besides, it's too sunny, so I have to wear sunblock. She lives in Southern California.
Obviously.
Alex says that the barn, they just got new stalls in their barn, but the barn is so warm, the horses are sweating without their blankets. Now I have to clip them all. Joy, I feel you here because this happened to me too. I got new muck boots, but I don't want to wear them to the barn because they'll get all muddy. Ugh. Lisa Wysocki, our favorite Lisa, said the radio in my truck blew up on the way from Minnesota to Tennessee. So I had to listen to 14 hours of HRN on my phone.
God, she's crazy now and been committed.
That's why that girl never doesn't want to come visit you.
Yes.
Everybody's sick of you. Rhonda, I don't know who you are, and there's got to be a story that goes along with this, but I have no more information than Rhonda says. I want to go and ride my horse, but I don't want to get all dirty. I don't know who you are.
You picked the wrong hobby.
Joy says, since getting married, my husband's family keeps wanting to take me on trips and go wine tasting, but I want to spend time with my horses. That is a problem. I mean, wine tasting and horses, like those two are pretty up there. Diane says, I found a new horse and I wanted to buy it, but I didn't want to separate her from her pasture mate. So I had to buy them both. Kimberly said, I made plans 2 weeks ago to show my horses to some coworkers' kids. And now my face and hands are all windburned because it's hashtag cold and windy in California. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
God, I miss Arizona. TJ says, thanks to Rachel, I have a brand new bridle, but no reins to match. Ugh. Don't you wear that on public. You'll be shamed. Rebecca says that I'm off for 2 weeks and I have time to listen to all of your podcasts, but you're all on vacation.
She apparently was caught up. We had many listeners who were saying, finally, you're on vacation. I got to catch up. So we've had to go both ways.
Emily says, my horse has a new winter blanket. I want to put it on him because it's so pretty, but it like only would be good if I put it on and it's like 0 degrees and I don't want it to get that cold. What kind of blanket is that? Jessica says, it is so inconvenient that BMW is taking a whole week to ship my new X5 to my home for us to renew our lease. Like, OMG. Why should I have to wait a whole week for this? It's probably, it won't even arrive this weekend, so I'll have to take a day off of work for this too. Ugh. I hate myself so much for typing that.
You should.
I will punch you in the face. That's good.
I gotta say, some of the little BMWs are really cute. They're really
oh,
cute.
Oh, God. I always thought I was a BMW girl.
Yeah, they're really cute. As sports cars go, I think the BMWs, they got it down. They don't make them look like other sedans. They look like BMWs.
Lisa in New Zealand said, I had to go and ride at the beach today because it's the last day of holidays and I have to go back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, they've been complaining how hot it is down there on our auditor page, all of our Australia, New Zealand listeners.
Doreen says, I've done so much showing with my horse that now I have ribbons literally all over my house. Like, it's starting to look tacky.
She does. She goes to dressage shows and she always wins. She always wins. Every time I see a picture, you go to her pictures on her Facebook page and it's every ribbon she's ever won and there's 1,000 of them. That pony is so good. Yeah.
Cynthia says, I have to go to work tomorrow, so I won't get to ride until 6:30 in the evening. And it will be so cold that I'm only going to have time to ride one of my Frisians, not all three.
Was that worse than the BMW one or was the BMW one worse?
I don't know. I like the BMW and the Frisians. We're done. That's enough.
They're kind of the same, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Between Jessica, like, we need to start voting on who has the biggest problem. Is it Jessica waiting a whole week for her BMW or Cynthia only has time to ride one of her Frisians?
One more.
Does it. That's all I got.
Misty sent a note and said, oh, Jamie, you brought so many memories of living in Oklahoma back. And she has a list. Do you want to hear them?
Oh, God.
Tarantulas. Fiddleback spiders. What the heck's a fiddleback? I don't
probably
even want to look that up.
That was on my roof.
Black widow spiders. So apparently you have those too. So many snakes. Giant fleas. Oh, but we got nasty fleas that don't die for anything. And you apparently got giant fleas. Scorpions. Well, you had scorpions at your old place, though, so you're kind of used to those. Tornadoes. There's something new for you. Earthquakes. Have you been in the tornado shelter yet?
No, I don't go in there.
earthquakes.
I'm going to have to see the twister coming before I'm going to jump down in a hole in the ground full of spiders.
Ice storms. Oh my God, the wind. Over 10 species of ticks. She's making this sound lovely.
Oh my God. Stop. And
then Misty adds, oh, the people. Best neighbors and friends ever. Winky face. Can't wait to hear your updates. Oh, and then she adds, P.S. Forgot about the plentiful mosquitoes and wild pigs. So apparently you got it all there in Oklahoma.
I'm so lucky to be here. I'm so happy. It's like amazing. Jennifer, I have no barn. I have mud everywhere.
Oh, wait a minute. The barn was supposed to be built by Christmas. Isn't it up yet?
Oh. Yeah, you know what? Shockingly, there's been a massive amount of rain, which has been slowing things down because they can't get the concrete trucks in because it would obviously just sink. They can't come through the mud to bring the concrete in.
Oh,
my
so you
God.
Really have no progress on your barn.
They were out there this morning. I was like, oh my God, they're here. It's not their fault. I mean, it rains every 3 days, like torrentially.
Okay, well, that Misty missed that on our list. We need to add that. Oh my God, the rain. We need
the rain in the winter. Like, you know what? Make it cold or make it rain. Together, that is not fair.
Comes from the Arizona girl. All right, Jennifer, we have a health segment that we're going to take. We've had a bunch of listeners requesting information on winter forage, and you dug around the archives, didn't you?
I did. I dug around and found a great chat that I had with Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition about forage in the wintertime, how much, what kind, etc.
It's funny you mentioned that because I, after the show, have to go return 40 stacked bales of hay to the hay seller because they're all flipping moldy. Write that down on your list. Hay.
Jennifer had to do that last week. I don't know what it's a moldy hay year, I guess. All of us have had to deal with that, too. All right, let's take a listen to the information for the health segment about winter forage. We'll be back.
And I'm so happy to welcome to the show Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. And it's that forage time of year. Everybody's thinking about what to feed their horses forage-wise, either because it's hard to find and expensive, or they're just going, oh my gosh, it's going to get cold. How much do I need? So today, Dr. Cubitt, which one of those are you going to address?
Oh, Jennifer, thanks so much for having me back, and I'm glad to be talking about forage because, as you said, it is that time of year. And we'll kind of touch on a few of those. I know for you down in Florida, it's a big issue because you have to ship in a lot of hay. Quality may not be the best. So we'll touch on, especially going into the wintertime, people are nervous about how much hay am I going to need to take me through the wintertime. Storage becomes an issue if I don't know if I don't have a place to store it. Some people aren't quite sure how much they need, if they're going to be able to buy a big lot of it going into the wintertime. And one of the big things we have to remember is in most areas of the country, there's no grass. When we get to the wintertime, there's no grass growing. There may be snow on it. So the horse is pretty much 100% reliant on you for their fiber requirements. So what does that mean? If we take the average 1,000-pound horse, they should be getting a minimum of 1.5% of their body weight from forage per day. So for a 1,000-pound horse, that's 15 pounds of hay a day. And if we calculate how long a winter may last, this sounds really scary. When I was writing this down, I thought, oh gosh, 5 to 6 months of winter. But it really seems like that's how much winter some people have. If we calculate out the day, so that could be anywhere from 150 to 180 days. So if we times 15 pounds a day by 150 to 180 days, that comes out to be about 2,250 to 2,700 pounds of hay per horse per winter. Most people have more than one horse, so that's a lot of hay. That's a little over a ton of hay per horse.
Funny. When you did the math there, I thought, because at one point I had 25 horses that I was caring for,
and we
made a lot of our own hay, so you know it was a big deal. But looking back and you hear that math, I'm going, oh, one horse, only a ton a year? That's not bad at all.
Oh, just for the winter time. And that's a minimum. Obviously, if your horses struggle with maintaining weight throughout the winter, you want to make sure that you're feeding more hay. Now, if you have a fat horse, use the winter to get some weight off them.
I have a curious question.
Yes.
And we have to keep stressing the word minimum, because I think the majority of us have horses that, as soon as the grass dies out, they're not air sponges anymore. You know, they have very normal nutritional needs and caloric needs when there's no grass. Is there an inherent risk in allowing a horse to have free choice hay, providing that the quality of the hay is appropriate?
If as you say, it's not just an air fern that is going to look at hay and get fat, then no, there's not a risk with having free choice hay. Because if you go back to think about what horses are designed to do, they're really designed to graze continually throughout the day. A lot of research has shown around 17 hours a day, horses would just be constantly nibbling away on grass. And that's how their digestive system is also built, to have a small amount of food constantly trickling through the digestive system. So one thing I will stress is the less you feed your horse when it comes to hay, when you're getting down closer to that minimum, and really if you had your horse on a true weight loss program, you might go slightly lower than that. You really have to use more management strategies, because the less your actual quantity you're feeding, you still have to be providing it to them, mimicking that natural grazing behavior. So if I'm feeding a horse that gobbles down his hay really quickly, 15 pounds of hay a day, in only two meals, he's going to have a lot of time where he's standing around not chewing on anything and probably developing gastric ulcers and other behavioral issues.
Whole new headache.
So the less you're feeding of hay, the more you have to, whether you're using slow feeder nets or you're breaking up your 15 pounds of hay into smaller, say, five lots, and you go out to the barn five times and you're throwing in a little bit of hay just so that you can kind of stretch it out. Mm-hmm. The more hay you feed, the less management is involved with providing it to the horse because they're able to just kind of nibble away at it.
Now, this was something kind of a light bulb moment the other day. I'm a hay net nut. I love hay nets because I hate to see the horses standing on their hay, but I love to feed my horses lots of hay. And I have one hay net that has teensy weensy little holes. They're 1.5 inches, maybe 2 inches, really tiny hay net, whole hay net. And I have another hay net that's got kind of medium sized holes. If I make a fist, I can fit my fist through the hole when it's full, but not much more. Huge difference between the one that is the size of a half dollar and the one that's the size of my fist. I can take that same 10 pounds of hay and it will last him 45 minutes in that medium-sized hole net. It'll take him 3 hours in the teeny-weeny size. That amazes
me. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And those slow feeder hay nets are ideal when you're feeding towards the minimum end of the forage requirement, because as you said, it takes a whole lot longer. And I know, you know, some people might be listening and saying, gosh, who's got time to throw hay into the stall five times a day? Well, no, not many people do. Most of us have to have a job to support these animals and this hobby that we have. So finding ways that we can still make them fit into our schedule by using those slow feeder nets is ideal. You can really pack it. There was an article done a while ago in one of the magazines showing a lot of DIY ways to build the slow feeders as well. I think I saw one that was pretty cool because some people get concerned that the horses are yanking on it and still some hay is falling onto the ground using one of those big plastic water troughs, the Rubbermaid water troughs, and putting the hay in it and then having a piece of mesh that kind of sits on top of it and floats down. So they're never wasting any of it because it's always in the bottom of the feeder. So that's another option too.
Cool.
But as I say, the less you're feeding, the more management comes into it. I've been speaking with colleagues recently saying that we really need to flip-flop the terms hard keeper and easy keeper, because from a management perspective, the fat or obese horse is really hard to manage and keep.
You're right.
You still need to feed them a certain amount of forage to maintain gut health, but the less you're feeding, the harder it is for us to manage them. But when you've got a thinner horse, you just feed them, keep feeding them.
Just give them food all the time.
Much, much easier. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I really want to stress the main, you know, we've talked in the past about how forage is so very important, but going into the winter time, I mentioned earlier that they're not going to have any grass, or they're 100% reliant on you for their forage requirements from a gut health standpoint. But also we have to remember that how do you keep a horse warm in the wintertime? The simplest way to keep a horse warm in the wintertime is to feed him hay. I'm sure many of your listeners have stuck their hand in a bale of hay that was baled slightly damp, and it's very, very hot. The exact same principle is occurring in the hindgut of the horse. When those bacteria that live back there in the large intestine break down fiber, they create excess byproduct heat. A byproduct energy, which is heat. So the simplest way to keep your horse warm in the wintertime is to provide them with plenty of fiber, because it'll keep them warm from the inside out. It's like you having a cup of coffee. Sometimes no matter how many sweaters you put on, you just need a cup of coffee or hot soup to get you warm from the inside out. And that's going to be the same with your horses.
So from the management perspective, the weather is cooling off. Is it better to gradually increase your horse's pounds of hay per day over a, let's say, month period of time when cold weather is expected to start? Or is it better to go, okay, I'm going to keep his hay the same because it's really not getting chilly yet, and then Sunday evening you look at the weather report and it's supposed to have a cold snap come Monday morning and increase his hay by 5 pounds?
Ideally, that would be the perfect way to do it, would be that gradual increase. Because in the fall, well, another huge issue that we notice is impaction colic. Because we have the grasses start to dry off, then all of a sudden we think, oh gosh, we've got to feed our horse all this hay now. And we have twofold. The grasses have dried off, and now we're feeding 100% or very close to 100% forage coming from this dried hay. So we've got a much drier forage going into the digestive system, because remember, grass has a lot of moisture in it, and it's cooler weather, so they start to drink less. And it takes a little while for the digestive system water balance to kind of level out and normalize again.
Sure.
So we see a lot of impaction colic. If you ask your local vet what's the biggest issue they see in the fall weather, it's impaction colic, because we have this change in environment and that's affecting the horses twofold. So if you like to plan ahead and you have the ability to do that, it is a really good idea to slowly build up the amount of hay that you're giving and make sure that your horse is drinking, especially as the weather is changing. And I know up here in Virginia, we've been a little bit lucky. We feel like it's not quite winter yet, because we've had a really warm fall. But as soon as that first snap of cold weather comes, we're also going to see that affecting horses environmentally. So really make sure that while they're also eating plenty of forage, and you can gradually build them up to that, that they're also drinking plenty of water to avoid that kind of imbalance in hydration in the gut.
There you go. Good idea. Don't just go throwing an extra half a bale in there on Monday morning. Yeah.
And one more thing to leave the listeners with is a half a bale of hay is not the same as a half a bale of hay. If you get my drift,
exactly.
You have to weigh. Because I go to many farms and they say, well, I've been feeding a half a bale of hay all winter long, or I've been feeding a bale of hay to eat for my horses all winter long, and I don't know why they're losing weight. And you pick up one bale and it's 40 pounds, and you pick up another bale and it's 20 pounds. So that's a significant difference in the amount of hay that you're actually providing your horse. So get a cheap scale. For hay, you can use those luggage scales.
Now, the luggage scales or fish scales are great.
Or
absolutely.
Fish scales, yeah. Yep. But it's really good, especially with your 4-H and Pony Club groups, to do tests with the kids and really get them to get an idea of what does a pound feel like? What does 2 pounds feel like? So when they pick up the hay, the amount of hay they normally give their pony every day, they're like, oh, this feels a bit light. I might give another flake today because it's a lighter bale.
Very good. Yeah, and after a while, if you're careful with that and you weigh it every day for a couple of weeks, you do develop a feel for it, don't you?
You do. Yep, yep. And that's an invaluable skill.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Cubitt, for explaining to us how much our horse needs and why and the best way to do it. Where can folks get a hold of you if they've got more questions or have some nutritional needs that need to be solved?
Any more questions, you can look us up at performancehorsenutrition.com on the internet. Give us a call, email us. We'd be glad to help.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
So, Jamie, what percentage of the horse people out there do you think actually weigh their hay?
I have no idea. Not very many.
Very many. And, you know, my guesstimate on weight differs greatly from Jennifer's because I always seem to have a lot more hay for my pony than she does.
You overfeed. That's not surprising. No, I took the hay net and the fish scale and did that for a long time. And now you do really get a good feel of it. Now I'm just trying to not feed moldy hay. By the way, Chad gave me a call during that segment.
Oh, no.
He's listening to the show. He's stuck in a snowstorm near Tucson, and he's sitting in traffic. And he's like, "You have to call that girl and find out about that horse." He's like, yeah.
Even Chad wants to know.
Even Chad wants to know, where'd this horse come from? What's the story? And why is she so cheap? Like, he's like, "You have to find out. I have to know."
He's an enabler.
That sounds like
he really is. Chad, you're an enabler.
He totally is. You know, no more mares. But really, seriously, like this one I have to know about. I'm like, that feels like I need to take the trailer and go get her.
Now, is this one because it's far enough away you show up with the trailer? See, that's always a decision. It's a decision because you have to weigh that decision based on two things. One, distance. Two, price point, right? So if it's cheap enough that you're going to go, well, maybe I'm not going to vet that one, then you bring the trailer. And I always thought that was a negotiating tactic too because I got the trailer here. I'm more serious. I got the money. I'm ready to go. I can get $1,000 knocked off.
No, you won't get any money knocked off because they're like, damn, he's going to buy him anyway. No, that is never a negotiating tactic. That is showing your cards. You're like, I am going to buy this.
I think it's just the opposite. I always thought it was a negotiating tactic.
Now, in a situation like this, let's per se say that I'm like really excited about this horse and I go out and I try it and I like it. You bet your ass I'm betting that thing.
Yeah,
there's a reason
yes,
that it is put in this situation.
Yeah. What's the vet limit, though? What is the dollar? Everybody has their dollar amount. I think our dollar amount for vetting would be $1,500 or above.
You know what? I have a rule with vetting, and for me personally, when I vet a horse, because let's take Rocket. I vetted Rocket, so I had the vet go out there, and I'm like, "Here's the deal. I want you to vet the horse, but he's a 3-year-old that has done nothing. Okay, so if he flexes positive on a fetlock, just stop." Because I'm not going to put, like,
you're not gonna do
if
x-rays
he's 3 years yeah. old and he's already got something going on, I'm not going to be the one to find out about it. You know, because the sport that I do, they really have to be sound. I mean, they have to event, they have to really be sound. And if I'm already treating a 3-year-old who's done nothing. Yeah. So,
because then you have 26 years of treating.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You know what? But like my student, the last student I bought a horse for, the horse flexed positive on just about everything. And she's a 13-year-old warm blood mare. And she flexed. So we took some x-rays of the fetlocks and it's just some arthritis. Not bad. And so, but the horse was so lovely for her. And such a good personality that we ended up buying it with her and taking, getting a lot of money off the price. And I'm like, take $3,000 off the price and we will use that as, you know, you will use that to put into her over the next 5 years. And so the horse is on Adequan and Legend. And by the way, it feels so good now that it's not as quiet as it once was.
Funny how that works too.
It feel good. Yeah. So that's what I do with pre-purchases. But again, I'm vetting a different type of horse for myself than I would be for others. But like with Groot, baby Groot, I didn't even vet him simply because he comes from a rescue and they'll take him back if something's wrong. So I'll put at least minimum, I get to put some training into him and he'll have a better life.
We'll have to have Wendy on. I know she's listening live today. We'll have to have Wendy on sometime to tell vetting stories. I bet you she has a few.
Oh my gosh, I bet. That'd be awesome.
From the vet's point of view. And she always says, nobody listens to me. I tell them not to buy the horse. I come out and say, don't buy the horse, and they buy it anyway.
Uh-huh, yeah. Chili failed the vet in about 47 different ways, and they were like, well, take him. Like, the vet was like, seriously, do not buy this horse. Like, don't. Like, pulls off to the side, was like, do not buy this horse. Do not. And they're like, we'll take him.
She just wrote back exactly. By the way, Wendy will be on tomorrow. It's driving day here on Horses in the Morning. So we'll be doing a driving episode. And then Really Bad Ads is back. And Jennifer needs some ads, so get them in. You know, you all took a break over Christmas. Time to get back to work. So we're back to work. You have to get back to work, too. Get on Craigslist. Get on there. Take a look for some really bad ads and send them in.
Maybe
cleaning.
I'll give you the story of this mare in Really Bad Ads on Friday.
And I did find a ton of stuff that was hiding that we can start to give away again, too, when I clean my office. I'll tell you what it's like to purge when you have to clean your own house. It's like moving. And you know what it's like, how much stuff you threw away. We aren't even moving. And we had an entire pickup truck load to go to the dump. An entire pickup truck load.
You guys.
We purged. I feel so much. The house feels lighter.
Yeah. Your feng shui is better.
Now if I can get rid of the fleas that have been eating me the whole show.
Put some back tall white socks on, buddy.
I have them on. I have long pants on. I'm about to put a coat on. Ugh. Anyway, we'll be back again tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this first show of the year. We really appreciate it.
My ankles itch like right when you're
talking. You're all going to be itching right now, and you can thank me later. See you, everybody.
Bye, Nidra Gallant. Have a good one.